Blog Talk Radio.
The lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say welcome to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles, and on today we are still covering discipleship on this morning, but we're going to be covering it from walking in the power and wisdom of Yah, walking in the power and wisdom of Christ. And so that will be our discussion on this morning as we go through the scriptures. I pray that everybody has had a blessed evening, and if you have gotten the prescribed rest and you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High on this morning. Also, we pray that everyone around the world, wherever you may be at, in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, listening on your phone, or listening to a broadcast over the internet, we greet you all all in one. It has been a long week. I am so thankful that the Most High has allowed me to survive another week and to another day to praise him, another Sabbath, that I might honor him in his word. We are going to be going forward here with the grow tent. We're planning a trip up to the land for next month to, you know, go look and to walk the land and then to set aside an acre somewhere in the 200, set aside 1 acre that we're going to cultivate for growing food. And as many as are able to make it there, you know, we pray that we can do this. I know I'm going to try to get some of you here so that we can all go up together. We'll have to see how things go. What else is going on? I think that's it for right now. That's about all that's going on right now. You know, besides the little things, you know, getting the fence ran through, getting that repaired, you know, and getting bids to have that repaired, that kind of stuff. But other than that, everything seems to be, you know, going well. And so we just want to thank the Most High on today for his manifold blessings. Want to thank him for help today. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. I pray that all of you that are up in the northern part of the country, Minnesota, Michigan, those areas that you are keeping warm, that the current storm or cold front that's going through is not, you know, adversely affecting you. If you, no matter where you're at, we pray that all is well with you and that you are staying safe in Yah. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let's raise up a praise to the Most High on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, oh Yah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Glory and honor and majesty, hallelujah, belong to you, oh Yah, and to you alone. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. You are Elohim. You are my Elohim, Father. And I just want to praise you on this morning and give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, and the worship, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, hallelujah. Glory to you, oh God. Glory, Father. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for still allowing me to have breath in my body, to praise your holy name, to walk in your ways. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people would keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people Israel. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Messiah, that they would come and hear your voice and obey your commandments. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to, on this morning, let us get Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Because this really does sum it up. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen, amen. Sound the shofar.
Turn its back on God, but there's a people who are crying out and saying,
all I want.
I'm not after the blessings, I'm not after the things, I'm after the presence of God. All I want. Because when you get God, you get everything else that you need. All I want is you, Lord. You can seek after things but miss God, but if you seek after God, the things will come. All I want. going to say it to him again. We say, we say. Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Holding
nothing. Holding nothing.
Holding nothing.
Holding nothing.
If I told you what I really need from thee, would your heart and soul say
to do my will.
Yeah.
that I require of thee. There is more, so much more, so much more. He said, seek my face. He says, seek my face. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice, hear my voice, hear my voice. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher. So much more. So much more. So let your heart and soul say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Will you say yes to Yah? Will you follow in all his ways? Will you walk in the power of his wisdom? The book of Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of Elohim, and of the Father, and of Mashiach, or Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Mashiach. As you have therefore received Yeshua HaMashiach, so walk ye in him. As you have received him, so walk in him. We are to walk in Christ. Christ, by definition, is anointing. By definition, is the power and the wisdom of Elohim. That's what the title is. And Messiah came to show us how we are to do that, to walk in the power and the wisdom of the Most High. That is our strength. That is our glory. That is our wisdom, that we walk in his ways. And so we want to talk about that on this morning, because Mashiach obeyed the Most High in everything. In everything, he was faithful to the Most High. And so in becoming his disciples, one of the first things that we should learn is that he was obedient in all things to the Most High. And we have to walk in that obedience as well. We can't walk after our own ways, after our own understanding. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Because it gets hard sometimes. And being in this world and being conformed to this world, and then converting over to the kingdom of the Most High, it's not always easy to walk upright. It's not always easy to walk in the will of the Most High. But the thing is, we have to be obedient 100% of the time. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. And I may want to start a little bit higher than that. Let's start in verse 37. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry, await you here, and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There are some things that the Most High is going to ask each one of us to do. And they're not going to be comfortable if we walk with him. But he wants to know that we're going to be obedient, that we are going to do his will. Messiah was about to go to the cross, and he saw what was coming. He saw what Pilate was going to have him scourged. He saw what the Sanhedrin was going to do to him. He saw how he was going to be mocked and punched in the face and ridiculed. He saw how his flesh was going to be ripped open. He pre-saw all this. He knew. A lot of times we don't have that foresight. And we got to wait to the moment to know what's going to happen. And sometimes I think that could really be a blessing. Because if you really knew what you were going to go through, you might not go through with it. Think about that. Messiah knew exactly what was about to happen to him. And he's, if it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Do we have to do this? Does it have to be this way? Is there not another way? But not my will. Let your will be done. If there's no other way, then I will do what you want done. So the Father knows that it can be hard for us. And sometimes it's not even unto death. Sometimes it's just giving up something worldly, something that we look forward to. And we find out that the Most High says, no, I didn't mean that for you. What? I've been working on this all my life. I know, but I meant it for the kingdom. And we might not be obedient. We might become disobedient. But the truth of the matter is, we're trying to be and have the mentality of our King, of Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, trying to have his mentality. And he was obedient even unto death. If I have to lay down my life to do thy will, O Father, that's what I'll do. This is what you require of me. This is what I will do. Now, he understood and he knew what the plan of the Most High was. He knew that this was to bring about salvation and open the door to salvation for all mankind. Sometimes we may not know, but we're to still be obedient. We're to walk in the power, and we have to know that the Most High knows what's best. He'll give us the strength, and he'll give us the understanding when the time comes. I believe he shows it to us as we obey those things that we don't understand. He reveals to us. Go to John chapter 14. Actually, we'll come back to John chapter 14. Let's go to Philippians. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5. And we're going to get verse 18. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Romans 5 and 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So Adam, by one man, sin entered into the world. And through the faithfulness and the obedience of Mashiach, life returned back to man, justification of life, that we might live through his obedience. So you may not know what impact, what the total impact of what you're going to do, what effect it may have down the road, and the number of people that it's going to affect. Right now, we see small. We see, well, it might be helping me. It might be helping a couple of others. But then we never know. Think about Rahab. And Rahab was more or less a prostitute in Jericho. And when the Hebrew spies came in, and she helped them, she saved herself and her family. But then the truth of the matter is she saved an entire nation. She saved the entire nation of Israel. She helped in that. And for her help, where she thought she was just helping herself, she ended up helping the nation of the Most High. We never know when the Most High calls. And when he asks us to do something, we don't really know. We might only be able to see what's around us. But if we are obedient to his word, if we are obedient to his voice, you never know what goes on to your record. Help to save the United States of America. Who knows? We don't know. If the Most High doesn't reveal his entire plan to us, we don't know. We just, you know, see what's immediately in front of us. And maybe we might think, well, you know, that's not enough to give up what you're asking me, Most High. And so if we are wanting to be his disciple, then we must be willing to be obedient 100% of the time. Without murmuring, without question. Even Messiah's like, man, this is hard. Is there another way? Adam, my brother, he messed up. Now I got to come and die for him. I got to go through this hell. More than hell, because it's living for him, that he and his descendants might be able to return back to the Most High. I gotta die. I gotta suffer this humiliation. If it's possible. Nevertheless, if the answer is no, it ain't possible, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. And so we have to put ourselves in that position. Always. And everything that we're doing with the Most High. And everything that we are, that we're asked to do. We want to be in his will. We want to be in his way. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. And let's get verses 8. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to get verses 8 and 9 and 10. And being found in fashion as a man, this is Messiah, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. See, there's a lot of times that we just need to humble ourselves. Humble. Submit. Give in. Your will be done. Most High, whatever you say, even if it's unto death, if I have to give my life, are we prepared to do that? That's one of the things that I learned about the scriptures. People want salvation, and they want to get into the kingdom, but they don't really want to suffer with Messiah. They don't really want to have to go through anything. They really don't want to have to give up anything, if the truth be known. If I can, you know, say that I believe in him and still live my life the way I want to live my life, I'm all in. But the truth of the matter is, it says if you're going to be a citizen in this kingdom, if I require anything of you, first you've got to be walking in my ways or I can't use you anyway. You got to be obeying my voice or I won't use you except for to do evil. And I found that he will do that. He will use you to do evil. He will turn you over to it. But if we are walking in his ways, then he will use us for his purpose to bring about righteousness, and he gives us credit for it. But we have to be willing to also suffer with him in this. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. I believe that's where I want to be. And let me get the verse that I want. And these are critical to our walk as disciples. We're going to get started in verse 9. I'm just going to sort of walk through this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. This is walking in his power and in his wisdom. But you are not in the flesh. I'm going to start in verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And that's in the spirit of the Most High. If so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. None of this is possible. None of it is possible to do without his spirit, without being filled with his spirit. You can have all the desire that you want, but trust me, where the rubber meets the road, when it comes down to doing actually what he says to do, without his spirit, without his power in you, you will let the flesh take over. You will let your mind take over. You will let fear take over. So we have to have his spirit dwelling in us. And this is not knowing the scriptures. This is not knowing, all the Bible you can know. You need the author of the Bible. You need the author of the word. You need Elohim himself. His spirit, he said he would give it to us. That's the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. The Holy Spirit. We need that. We have to be filled by his spirit. Or else when the time comes, you will be weak. You'll have no power to do what it is that he's asking you. You will try to do it on your own. And trust me, when the, at the last second, you'll choose to go the other way out of fear, out of unknown, because you're not going to really be sure. And he gives us his spirit so that we are sure. He reassures us that he is with us. He shows us. He tells us. He gives us boldness. So if so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, as we did our study, we know that these are one and the self-same spirit. The spirit of Christ and the spirit of Elohim is the same spirit. There's only one spirit. And we know this by now. There's only one. Doing different things, but it's the self-same spirit. So when it says, if the spirit of Elohim dwell in you, and that says, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, it's the self-same spirit. Only one spirit. He is none of his. You must be born of the water and of the spirit. You must be baptized with him. And we're going to go back to Colossians and get that you must be baptized with Christ, baptized into his death in order to receive life. That means that when it says you are buried with him in baptism, that means that the old you died. That old man died. You don't bury things that are alive. At least you're not supposed to. But that is what in fact ends up happening. A lot of times, most of the time, I'm going to just be honest with you, most of the time, people don't die to themselves. That old man was never put to death. They held on to him and went down in the water, got buried in Messiah, alive. And when they came up out of that water, that old man was still alive. And then when they don't experience the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, well, I can't say they find it strange because most people are never even taught to expect to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. Most of the time, the churches are just telling them they're filled. Oh, now you are filled with the Spirit of the Most High. No, that's not correct. It is not correct. And so our heart has to be right with him. We have to be walking in his power and in his wisdom. And if we have wisdom, then we're going to know that we have to fear him and that we have to do what he says to do. We have to be obedient. Then he will fill us with his spirit. He will make us his children. And when he makes us his children, then he expects that we will act like children for a certain amount of time. But as we are taught, as we learn, then we should start to grow and mature. And we should be able to accept that, you know, daddy's business is in the business of saving souls. It's in the business of reconciling the world to him. How are we going to reconcile and help to reconcile the world to him if we are still in need of reconciliation? Because somebody sold us a wolf ticket. Somebody sold us, they gave us a false ticket into, let's say, the concert, into salvation. You get to the door and the guard tells you, your ticket is counterfeit. It's not valid. But I paid $300 for this ticket. I don't care what you paid for it. It's not valid. You can't come in. Now, because we went, you know, we tried to get it from a scalper or whoever, but we got somebody who is being deceitful in the word. And it won't tell you the truth. And so you got a lot of people running around here with counterfeit salvation. And I'm just going to say it straight up. counterfeit salvation and think that they're going to enter in and that Messiah has to honor it, and he won't. Because you have to have the spirit of Elohim dwelling in you. That's how you are begotten. You died. You killed that old man. Most I'm no longer going to be that old person. I'm dead to those ways. I'm dead to doing those things. I'm going down in Messiah in your name. I'm going to be buried with Messiah. And when I come up out of this water, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. And then the Most High fills you with his spirit. And there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like it. Nobody has to tell you anything. You know. But the Most High confirms it with you. And when you have this experience, if you have this experience and you're in a normal church that doesn't really experience this, they will throw you out. Why? Because you're not like them. They'll tell you you're possessed. They'll tell you you got a demon. Now, you got the spirit of the Most High, but Satan's going to identify the spirit of the Most High as a demon. Because you're not like them. Come up out of that water. If they don't speak in tongues, come up out of that water speaking in tongues. They're going to tolerate you for so long. Because when the spirit of the Most High, he may want to say something to that congregation through you. But they're not going to tolerate you speaking in tongues around them. You better take that. You better do that in private if you do it. Go in your prayer closet. There's the Most High whenever he wants to speak. They should not be trying to quench the spirit, trying to shut the spirit down. No, we don't do that stuff here. So we must be filled by his spirit. And if we have not his spirit, we are none of his. We don't belong to him. We have to understand that and walk in that power and in that wisdom. Because we can do nothing, like Messiah said, I can do nothing in and of myself. He's telling us all power comes from the Most High. And when we are filled with the Spirit, it's not us doing it. It is the power of the Most High doing it. It's the power of the Most High healing someone. It is the power of the Most High prophesying. It's the power of the Most High doing whatever it is that the Most High wants done through you. We are just that willing vessel. Next verse. If Christ or Yeshua be in you, if the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So this body is supposed to become dead to sin. We're not supposed to be practicing sin. And sin is really just the transgression. The transgression of his law. Doing things in a way that we ought not do them. Because we found them pleasurable. And that's what motivates 99% of us in everything that we do, that it brings us pleasure. We like doing it. Whatever it is. I don't care whether it's smoking or drinking or fornicating or overeating, whatever it is, it brings us some form of pleasure. That's where all addictions stem from, pleasure. Even for heroin addicts, when they first start doing heroin, it makes them sick. until it actually clicks in on their system, and then all of a sudden when they do it, that high is a pleasure. And now, if they don't do it, they get sick. But it stems around pleasure, and we got to understand that 99.9% of all addictions stem from pleasure. It brings us pleasure. Whether it's addiction to work, whether it's addiction to power, whether it's addiction to whatever, it brings us some type of pleasure, and that's why we are addicted to it. That's why we do it. It makes us feel some kind of way. And so we have to walk in Messiah. We have to die to all this stuff. This is what Paul was telling us last night. We got to die to all these things in this world that bring us pleasure for pleasure's sake. And that's what we live for. It's not wrong to have pleasure in your life. It's not wrong to want some of these things, but they should not be what rules us. It should not be what we live for. It's those of Mashiach. It's what we should be living for. Our main purpose, our main reason for existence is to be pleasurable to the Most High. And right now, he is wanting us to establish his kingdom in this earth. And when we have understanding, then when we have wisdom, then we understand that we have spent most of our lives not doing the will of the Father, but seeking after those things that are in this world. Seeking after pleasure, things that give us pleasure. But the truth is, we're saying that we've been seeking those things of this world, and then saying we belong to him, when he has said the contrary. He says all those things that you're seeking after, all those things that give you pleasure, they are not of me. The lust of the flesh is not of me. The lust of your eye is not of me. The pride of life is not of me. It's of the world. And we spent most of our life, our entire life, pursuing that. But when Most High opens our eyes and allows us to see, whether we do it or not, when he allows us to see that our life should have been dedicated to doing his will, his way, bringing about what it is that he desires in this world, then we understand that we've wasted so much time, so much energy, doing that which doesn't please the Father. It doesn't please him. Let's continue. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, if you know who raised up Yeshua from the dead, then you should know who should be dwelling in you. It is Elohim himself. If the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, from the dead shall also quicken or give you life, your mortal bodies, give life to your mortal bodies. How? By his Spirit that dwells in you. Without his Spirit that dwells in you, you're not going to get eternal life. You're going to get eternal life at the great white throne judgment. But you're not going to raise up before then. You see, the church is teaching everybody, hey, you believe in Messiah, then you're going to make it in the first resurrection. He's going to call you back when he returns. There's another caveat to this. There's another detail that they seem to leave out that we must be wise about. Let's read the next verse. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Messiah, you look at his life, he wasn't about pleasing his flesh. It's not how he went about it. And I know this is all that we have known, is that we were born into this. We were trained into this. We were indoctrinated into this. And we're told that, you know, we believe in Christ, that he died for us. But we never look at what he asked us to do for him. And the church, I've been in church just about all my life. Never had anybody in the church to really explain what does Elohim require. He's given me salvation. All you got to do is believe. No. That's not all that's in this book. You got so many people believing that. All they got to do is believe. Keep on living your life the way you are. You know, you can stop doing what you consider to be sin. And then we have our own opinions about what sin is until we read the scriptures and find out that the Most High defines what is sin. And so it might be something simple like the world says it's okay to shack up together. But the Most High says, uh-uh. You can live together. Better not be doing nothing else together, though. But the world has one standard, and the Most High has another. And so we got to understand, we have to find out what his standards are to be wise. Else we are wise in our own conceits. We're wise in our own standards. And we start making up standards and levels of behavior, acceptable behavior, based upon our standards. And we live our life that way. This is what I think is right. And this is what I think is wrong. And this is what is acceptable. And, you know, if you go this far, it's okay. But if you go this far, it's not okay. And then we really learn what the word of the Most High says and what he is actually saying to find out that we have been in error. And that we were taught wrong. We really don't have a say in this matter. The Most High never asked anyone what their opinion was about what he considers to be sin. What do you think about that? You think I should make that a sin or not? What do you think the penalty should be? What do you think the reward should be? You won't find one instance anywhere in the Bible where he asked somebody what they thought. What is your opinion about what I'm doing? You won't find it. Not from any prophet. Only where you will find that is in the world. Somebody going to tell the Most High what's right and what's wrong. Somebody would even have the gumption to say, if you do things that way, Most High, you're not my God. You cannot be my God. You will only find somebody that's unwise that will say something like that. But you look in this word, you're not going to find that. You're not going to find where he says, give me your opinion on what I'm doing. Give me your opinion on what I require. Give me some wisdom. Everybody that's in the scripture that gives wisdom, say the same thing. You better count on the Most High and obey him. They don't tell you any different. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, to be led by the Spirit of Elohim, you got to be filled with the Spirit of Elohim. You cannot even read these scriptures and come to truth without being filled with the Spirit of the Most High, the author and finisher of our faith. You cannot be even read these scriptures. You will get a lot of facts, but you will not get truth. You will not get wisdom. You will have carnal knowledge, not spiritual knowledge. You will be able to apply it carnally, but not spiritually. It is impossible. Because your body, the flesh, interprets things through its needs. The mind even will interpret things through its needs and its understanding. And you might perceive it as being spiritual, but it's really just your own mind justifying based upon what you were taught, what you accepted of what you were taught, and how you interpreted it. But it's still carnal. It's based upon this world and the things of this world and how people have, you perceive people have treated, have done to each other. But it's only with being filled with the Spirit of the Most High that you can interpret this word and get understanding from this word, from his perspective, from his spirit, what he intended for it to say, and how he intended for it to be applied, and for us to use it and to have wisdom. It has to come from him. Has to. There is no other way. There's no other way to be led by him. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, or Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit of the Most High bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. And if children, then heirs. The Most High will let you know that you're his. He will give you signs. He will, in accordance with what he has already had written, he will let you know your minds and you need to be obedient. And when he sends a word to you, you know who it is that's talking to you. It could be a two-year-old child. A child will say something to you that everybody else will be like, I don't even know why they said that. But you know, and you know who's talking to you. You recognize the voice. My sheep hear my voice. And it's not the vessel that is being used that it has to come through. It is what is said and how it's said. The tone in it, and it's coming through this little child, or it's coming through this grown-up. But you know that it's the Most High speaking and talking to you. My sheep hear my voice, and they obey me. So if you are his, if you truly are his, then you are an heir to the kingdom. And heirs of Elohim. He's going to be your Elohim. And joint heirs with Mashiach. Together with him as brother. He's king, but he's the head. If so be that we, people don't like to see this part. If so be that we suffer with him. You're not just going to walk up in this thing and having not given yourself to it and gone through some stuff and thinking that you're going to get up in the first resurrection. That's why I tell people what the church is teaching them is just a flat-out lie. Well, I won't say it's a flat-out lie. It sets the wrong expectation. Because we got all these quote-unquote Christians believing that they're going to get up in the first resurrection and they haven't done anything for the Most High. They haven't suffered in any kind of way with him. They've been living their lives and doing what they want to do and saying, I believe. But they have not suffered with him. And the scriptures are clear. You got to suffer. If you want to be an heir, you got to have suffered with him. He suffered all the way to the cross, to the giving of his life. We want to enter into the kingdom just because we got dunked in the water, had his name set over us, and I pray that when you were baptized in his name. I pray that you were not baptized in Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but that they actually baptize you into his name, even if it was Jesus Christ. Because you must be baptized into his name, not into his titles, but into his name. So if you were baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you need to be rebaptized. For there is no other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved. You will not find any of the apostles baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nowhere. They baptize in his name. And they understood that the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit, that Yeshua was carrying that name. That was his name. In everything that you do, when you pray, you're supposed to ask for everything in his name. That includes baptism. So we got to understand that. But you got to be willing to suffer with him. That means you had to give up some stuff. You had to go through some stuff. You didn't get a, it wasn't a cakewalk. It wasn't a cakewalk, and most saints want to walk in, coming in through the cakewalk avenue. I can tell them assuredly they will not get in that way. There are some things that are required, and one of them is that you suffer with him. Even unto, if it's required, your death. He requires all of our substance, everything that we have, it's for his kingdom. He says, so if, he says, only those that die for me, that suffer unto death for me, are going to get a crown and a throne. A crown and a throne. You will all get the crown of life. And I've shown this to you guys in the scriptures. I'm not going to go get those verses right now. Everyone will get the crown of life, whether you come up in the first resurrection or the second. You're going to get the crown of life. Everybody, good and bad. But those that get the crown of life that were bad, they get eternal life and they go to the lake. Can't die, but they go to the lake. Those that are good get the crown of life and they go enter into the kingdom, into paradise. But if you want to be with the Most High, if you want to be with Messiah, if you want to be heirs with him, then you've got to be willing and have suffered with him. Can't be about you. And trust me, can't none of us beat the Most High in giving. Can't beat him in giving. He says, now, whatever you gave up, I'll give you 100-fold of it in the kingdom. Whether it was houses or children or money, whatever it is, I will give you 100-fold of it. That's the reward. If you're willing to suffer with me. And those that are willing to suffer with me unto death, then you have proven that you are worthy to reign with me. You gave up the ultimate. You gave up your life. This is the only life you know. And you were willing to give it up, and you believed in me that I was able to raise you back up again. And you forfeited your life for the kingdom's sake, for the word of the Most High, and for the witness of Mashiach. He says, you have proven yourself. Here is your crown and your throne. Here is your crown and your throne. Here, you earn one city. Those parables are true. Here, you earned five cities. Have authority over them. Rule them like I rule them. Can't rule different than I'm going to rule them. I'm going to rule them with a rod of iron. They get out of line, put them back in line real quick. Uphold the judgments of the law. They do something worthy of death, make it immediate. We don't understand. The Most High in the Torah, he showed us through Israel. When the people came against him, when they murmured, or when the 250 men came and tried to take over the priesthood, and Moses said, okay, y'all show up here tomorrow with your censers. Knowing that the priesthood is the only one that's supposed to come before the throne of the Most High, before his altar, and burn incense. Y'all show up here tomorrow. If y'all be the priest of the Most High, y'all show up here tomorrow with your censers, and you burn incense before the Most High. And we'll see who he approves of. And fire came off of that altar and burnt up to a crisp in a matter of seconds. All those men who presume to, oh, we are the priests of the Most High. You take too much on yourself, Moses. Judgment came immediately. And this is the way it's going back to. And people think that the Most High is slack today because judgment doesn't come immediately. But when he returns, that's the way it's going to be. And if you're going to rule with him, if you're going to be heir with him, if you're going to have a throne with him, you have to have been willing to suffer with him, and then you're going to have to reign the same way that he reigns. You're going to have to rule the same way that he rules, with a rod of iron, strict. Not plain. So the church doesn't tell us. They never told me when I was in the church, hey, you're going to have to suffer with Messiah. They never tell me, so I wouldn't even be able to ask, well, what does that mean? Suffer with him. What are you saying? What are you talking about? You're going to have to be willing to forego the pleasures and all the stuff of this world. You're going to have to be willing to forego living for yourself to satisfy you. You want to be my disciple. You want to walk in my power. You want to reign with me. You want to be an heir with me. Got to be willing to suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The day is coming when Messiah is going to stand up as king of the world, and all those who suffered with him and who earned a throne are going to stand up and be glorified together with him. This is my body, and we are enforcing everything. All my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and my judgments are now in full effect. And if you're wise, you won't choose the losing side. Because in the end, even after being up under Messiah and that strict rule for 1,000 years, guess what happens? The vast majority of people still rebel. Because remember, we read it last night, without the Most High, man's thoughts are only evil continuously. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how righteous a person you think you are. Without the Most High, without his Spirit indwelling in us, our minds and our thoughts will be continually evil. And the longer we go without him, the more depraved we become. And trust me, the only thing that's holding the world back from reverting to that way right now is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High. But there's going to come a day when he removes his spirit. He's going to remove it because he's going to be ready to judge this world. And if you have not or are not living by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, you're going to be living like the world. And when he removes his spirit, you're going to do what the world is doing. And you can say right now, oh no, I will never take the mark of the beast. Yes, you will. When he removes the spirit, if you're alive and you have not been walking in his ways and you don't know, then you will take that mark. You will love this life more than you love him. You will fear death more than you fear the Most High. You will fear death more than you believe in him. You hear what the scriptures say, but you don't actually honestly believe it. Or you don't feel like, hey, I don't qualify, so I better take this option right here. You got to go through some things in order to understand them a lot of times. You know, I heard about how tough it was in the military. You could have soldiers tell you what they went through. But until you've gone through it, you really have no way of really knowing. You can only go by what you heard. It's like a man telling a woman, oh, it ain't nothing to have a child. By what reference are we going to make any such comment like that? We don't have a clue. And even a woman that has never had a child can't really say to another woman what it feels like to have a child. No reference point. So we have to understand that we have to suffer with him, and we have to actually go through some things. We have to have given up some things. We had to walk in faith with him to have an understanding of what it takes, what it truly takes. We can say what we believe, what we think, but if we don't really have a reference, if we haven't actually gone through it, there's no way for us to know. There's no way for me to know really what a woman goes through when she delivers a child. There's no way for me to know what effect pregnancy has on her body. I can know what she says. I can empathize, but I can't really know. When she goes to start pushing and pushing that baby out, and things go to stretching and doing all this kind of stuff, there's no way for me as a man to ever know what that is, what that's like. Haven't suffered through it. It's the same way with this kingdom. It's the same way with this walk with Messiah. And if we have not suffered with him, then we are not heirs with him. It is very simple. And so I don't know what the church, why the church is doing this. I don't know why the church at large is doing this, because it's doing a disservice to the kingdom of the Most High. But then maybe it's just not meant for them to know. Maybe it's just not meant for, there's the road to heaven is long and wide, is long and narrow, and the road to hell is short and wide. Maybe it's just not meant for the masses to know. It's not meant for everybody to get this. Maybe that is the whole deal. Maybe it's not for everybody to get this wisdom. You've got to suffer with him. Even unto death. You've got to be that committed. Yah, whatever you bless me with, I will use it for your kingdom. And if you require it all, even unto the giving of my life, it's yours. This is what he's looking for. This is what who he says he's going to take. This is who he says qualifies. You want to be an heir? It's like people read, they read, if children, then heirs. Heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Christ. That we may be glorified together. And that middle section there, if so be that we suffer with him, it's magically left out. It's magically left out. So we want to walk in his power. We want to walk in his wisdom. We want to obey his voice. We want to be obedient to him. We want the Most High to receive us and fill us with his spirit. Yep, your minds. Here is the down payment. Here's my spirit. Here's my promise to you that every promise that I have made, I'm going to keep to you. Because the Spirit is the down payment. He says, now I'm going to, that's the first of the promises. That's what, how I have sealed you. That's how I know that you are mine. And if I don't find my Spirit in you, you are none of mine. Yep, there's my spirit. Yep, there's my spirit. Yep, there's my spirit. Nope, that's not mine. No, that's me. That's not me. That's not me. That's not me. That's not me. Let's go back and get go back to verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. This has to happen before you go to the grave. If you go into the grave and this hasn't happened, in all your life that you walked, you were never his. You were never his. And it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what we believe. What matters is what he says and what he believes. That's what matters. He says, if I don't find my spirit in you, if you haven't been begotten by me, you are none of mine. You ain't my baby. Not my child. Then a lot of these verses don't even apply to us unless this has happened. It doesn't apply. The promises don't apply. Everything that he says that he's going to do that's good does not apply to us. But if you've had this experience and the Most High has given you, has chosen you, many are called, few are chosen. That's the word of the Most High. Many are called. Few are chosen. The Most High is doing the calling. The Most High is doing the choosing. You have to make yourself available and ready to be chosen. You have to be obedient. You have to be Christ-like. You have to be willing. Let's go get another verse here. Well, I want to read one more verse here. Verse 18. We're going to read verses 18 and 19. This is our wisdom. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Whatever you're going through is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whatever suffering you got to go through, even unto death, can't compare with what you're going to receive. Can't compare with the reward that you're going to get. If you have understanding, if you have wisdom, then you know that what's to come is greater than this. Just the one thing, if I give you eternal life and don't give it to you in the lake, that alone would be worth any suffering you do now. I got to die one time and then you're going to raise me back up and I don't ever have to die again. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to be sick. I don't, none of this stuff. I'm not going to grow old. I'm not going to get weak and feeble. I'm not going to start losing muscle mass and all this other stuff that comes with old age. That alone can't compare. And that is nothing compared to all that he has for us. He says we can't even imagine what he has in store for us. We can't imagine it. He ain't revealed it. He says this is a little bit. Right here. If you can understand this little bit, that should let you know that that's enough for you to do what I want you to do, but that ain't nowhere near what I'm going to do for you. Nowhere near. You can't even imagine. But that alone, in my eyesight, what? I don't have to worry about getting old. I don't have to worry about losing my hair, losing my teeth, getting sick from high blood pressure and diabetes and heart attacks and kidney failure and renal failure and cancer and whatever else this body can go through with breaking down, with rusting out. I don't have to worry about none of that. None of that. I don't have to worry about death coming knocking on my door. Nope, you don't have to worry about that. That's just a small piece of the promise. He says, if you can understand that and know that that don't even, what you're going through now can't compare to what you're going, if you just receive that. You mean I'm not going to have to worry about time? Because time is only relevant to us because we know that there's a day coming that we're appointed to die, that this life is appointed to end. But what if we don't have a day appointed ever? That we're not going to wake up and see the sun or whatever light we're using at that time. That this earth could come to an end, but we will be eternal and we will not come to an end. We just move on, or the Most High revitalized the earth, or he said, oh, well, I'm going to create a new earth. Oh, wait a minute, I gave you God power. You go create your own earth. Go create your own. Create whatever beings you want on it. We don't know. He says, it's beyond our imagination. So if we don't understand that any sufferings that we go through now can't compare to what we're going to get if we're faithful, it's just like I can try to describe the pain in the lake of fire to you, but I ain't never been in the lake of fire to feel that pain. I'm giving you what I understand of it. And trust me, I understand that what I understand of it is it don't even compare. I've never experienced pain that I can only weep and gnash teeth. Be in so much pain that you can't even utter. You just in torment, and so much torment that you can't even talk. You can't cry out. It's like you're frozen in pain. So much pain that you are frozen. Can't move. But you can feel it, but it's so much it just overwhelms you. And you can't pass out. And I'm still not doing it justice. I know this. Because the way that the Most High describes it. So we don't want that reward. We want the reward of paradise and the kingdom. And he says, you can't imagine. Whatever you're going through here is nothing. It's not nothing to pay for what you're going to receive. It don't compare to the glory which you shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of Elohim. This earth is waiting for the true sons of Elohim to return to it. The earth is cursed because of us, because of our forefathers. It's not producing at the level that it was created to produce in. We have never seen the likes of what the Garden of Eden produced. How abundant the fruit and the plants produced. The Most High cursed it because of us. The earth said, I ain't do nothing. Yeah, but I put you under him and I made you a supplier for him. So now it's cursed the ground for his sake. And it's waiting The animals are waiting for the sons of Elohim to reappear in our, in the way that we're supposed and was intended to be. It groans. It's waiting for us to be in our place, to do what we're supposed to do. It's waiting for a Messiah to return, to give us eternity, and to make it to where the animals are waiting. Hey, they don't have to kill us no more for food. The earth is saying, hey, I can produce in abundance, and if the fruit is not going to drop to the ground and rot, it will stay good until somebody consumes it. Somebody picks a grape off and another grape grows in. Somebody picks an apple off and another apple grows in. I'm an apple tree, but I can produce pears and oranges and tangerines and lemons, a different fruit every month. But when I was designed to create one fruit. That's when I got cursed. But when I'm in my fullness, and the Most High releases those instructions, then every month I'll produce a different fruit. See, we can't imagine that. Not the way things work right now. Not the way that they work right now. Let us go to two more places and we'll call it quits for this morning. Let me get this first. Let's see, where am I at? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Because if we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, remember the scripture said that we have to be, the spirit of Elohim has to dwell in us, his spirit. And if it doesn't dwell in us, we are none of his. But if we are his, if we are his, then all these promises apply to us. And that's why I say you don't want to take a chance with your salvation. You don't want to take a chance and hope that you get in, because he doesn't give you, he doesn't give it to you that way. He says you can be assured. If you do what I say to do, you can rest assured that my word is good. Beloved, John chapter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. You haven't seen the real you. You haven't seen the spiritual you. You are not in the form that you are going to be in when he returns. You are in seed form right now. Every one of us is in seed form. The mystery is in the plant life. If you take an apple seed, the apple seed does not look like the apple tree. It doesn't look like it. The apple seed is the condensed form of the apple tree. The apple tree is the expressed form of the apple seed. You haven't seen your expressed self yet. It has not appeared yet. So when you look in the mirror, if you think that's how you're going to look when you are expressed, you are probably 99%, I'm sure, probably 99% sure that you are not looking at who you are. You're looking at yourself in seed form. And as a seed, see, an apple tree don't get to decide what it's going to be. It doesn't get to decide whether it's going to be good or evil. It's just going to do what it was designed to do. But you are an intelligent seed. And you get to choose. Are you going to be a good seed or a bad seed? You get to choose. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. They didn't even recognize Messiah. The women, when they first saw him, didn't recognize him. The two disciples walking between cities, when he appeared to them, they didn't recognize him. And you're not going to recognize you the first time you see you. You're going to know that you're you, but you'll be like, but who is that in the mirror? I ain't never seen myself in this form. I've never seen myself in my expressed form. I've never seen myself in the form that Elohim chose for me. For we shall see him as he is. They never saw Messiah really in his true form. They saw him in a form that he would allow them to see him in. But his expressed image, his expressed form, they hadn't seen him yet, and nobody has seen him as he is. Nobody has seen him in that form that he describes that, and maybe some of the old prophets did, like Ezekiel. Looking like lava, looking like molten metal. Because when he burns up this earth and he takes away this atmosphere and takes away the water, and he says all the elements shall melt, in order for you to be able to withstand that, you got to be in his form. To be able to survive that. Can't be in this form. Because if you're still in this form when all the elements melt, I guarantee you when molten steel melts, or gold melts, or aluminum, or nickel, or copper, or any type of metal, or rock, even rock. Go stand right now in the middle of a volcano and see what happens to you. See if you don't get burnt up to a crisp and just that quick. And in order to survive that, you got to be on a totally different level. You got to be made out of something else that is not affected by that. Think when the Most High melts the elements, it's going to affect him? It's not going to affect him. He said, we will be like him. When he came down, the mountains melted. The top of the mountain melted. His appearance, from what he shows us in the scripture, what they could see, caused the mountains to melt and to tremble. And we are not yet in the form that we're going to receive. But we are the sons of Elohim. Just that hadn't happened yet. We're waiting for that. It does not yet appear what we shall be. You have not seen your true self. But we know we're going to be like him. And he's going to show his true self in all his glory. And we're going to be like him. Can you believe that? Is it enough to make you totally commit to him 100%? Is it enough to make you do what it is that he's telling us to do? Is it enough to make you commit yourself 100% to him? Do you truly believe? This is our wisdom to understand what he's going to do for us that overcome, that we truly understand it. And we understand that it doesn't compare. Nothing in this life right now can compare. If you get beheaded, you got beheaded. You had a couple of seconds of pain. It's not going to compare to an eternity of paradise. It's not going to compare to an eternity of life. There's no comparison. If you live to be 120 years old, if you live to be 999 years old, what is that to, what is a thousand years to a million years? What is a million years to a billion years? What is a billion years to a trillion years? What is a trillion years to a Google of years? Or I think they might call it something else, Google something else after that. But you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't compare. So we're going to take 70 years, 50 years, 60 years, and think that it compares to eternity? It doesn't. So he's saying, if you overcome, if you are obedient, if you walk in my power and in my wisdom, if you obey my voice, you are going to walk in paradise for eternity. And a paradise doesn't just include this planet. And when I get tired of this planet and get ready to remake it and start it over, you will still be able to inhabit it. The makeover won't affect you. No water on the planet, you won't need water. No food on the planet, you won't need food. You eat if you want to eat. You drink if you want to drink. Those are requirements of this environment. But when I make you eternal, you can go in outer space and not die because you don't need oxygen. You won't die from the frigid cold because the cold don't affect you. You are totally transformed. You want to go into the sun? Go into the sun. That type of fire won't burn you up. I made a special fire for that. Doesn't conform to the laws of this creation for you spiritual beings that are disobedient. So you want to go into the sun and see what's in there? See what it's like? Go ahead. It won't affect you. We don't understand, nor can we imagine what the Most High has for us. And so these few years that we have to prove to him that we are worthy of him, that we won't put anything or anyone above him to obtain that promise, we are willing to suffer with him. See, we want in, but we don't want to have to give up anything. We don't want to have to suffer with him. We want the ease right now. We want the luxury right now. He said, so you would take the luxury now for a few years rather than give it up and help build a kingdom and suffer with me and receive an eternal reward, one that is going to last forever. So the choice is yours. And if you choose now, you're not really walking in wisdom. You're not walking in my power, because I'm going to give you power to walk in the way that I want you to walk. Just be obedient to me, and I will show up for you. I will be in you. I will dwell in you. One last place. And I don't have this on my paper. Give me a hot second. We're going to get two verses. We're going to get one from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and then one from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember, we just read in Romans that you have to have the Spirit of the Most High dwelling in you. And if you don't have the Spirit of the Most High dwelling in you, you are none of His. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is holy, which temple you are. If the Spirit of the Most High dwells in you, then you are the temple of Elohim. And if you're doing things to defile the temple of Elohim, Elohim says he's going to destroy you. We got to understand and believe that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Walk in this wisdom. What? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, which is in you. Which you have of Elohim. How do you get the Spirit of Elohim? It says that Messiah baptizes in the Holy Ghost. Baptizes us with the Spirit of Elohim. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own. You no longer belong to you. If the Most High chose you and he filled you, you were bought with a price, with the precious blood of Messiah. It would be wise for you to walk in his ways. It would be wise for you to obey his voice. That would be wise, to walk in his power, to count on him. Because you don't belong to you. You don't really have a say over what happens to you. And the Most High just told us, if you defile his temple, it ain't that church building. You are his temple. So we have to do things in the way that he says to do it, or we become defiled. And then he says, then you are unworthy for me to what? Reside in. It's like sin is a tornado. Let me describe it this way. Sin is like a tornado. And when sin hits, when a tornado hits your house, it destroys it. That house is no longer suitable to be lived in. It has to be torn down. And depending upon whether you got the right insurance and what have you, you may rebuild on the same spot. You may say, oh, I no longer feel safe here. I no longer feel comfortable. What if it were to happen again? So the Most High says, if we defile this temple, it has to be destroyed. And we have to be destroyed because we defiled it. We're the tornado. We're the ones doing the sinning. We're the ones destroying the Most High's temple. Happens to be the body that we were born into, but the Most High says, you know what? Move over. Move over and let me in. I purchased this body. I'm going to let you stay in it and rent it. But there are rules to how you live in this body. There are rules to how we're going to cohabitate. So move over. Make room. I'm moving in. You've been purchased with a price. You are not your own.
I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my my family, my relationship, whatever it is, my Facebook time, my Instagram time. What I lack, you are full of. And where I'm broken, you are whole. And what I'm doubting, you are sure of. For I'll trust the lover, lover of my soul. Let me hear y'all sing that one time. What I lack, say.
What I lack.
You are full of,
you are full of,
where I'm broken,
where I'm broken,
you are whole,
you are whole,
when I'm down,
when I'm down.
All right. Make room in your life for whatever it is that the Most High is calling you to do. You are bought with a price. There's nothing in this life that should take a priority over Him. There's nothing in our lives that we should allow to have space over Him. If there's anything in our lives that are taking up His time, taking up His space, we really need to move it out of our lives. Not move it over, but move it out. He has told us that we cannot love anyone or anything more than we love Him, or we are not worthy of Him. We cannot be His disciples. So make room in your life make sure that the Most High is priority number one. Not number two, not number three, not whatever you want, wherever you want to fit him in. He has to be number one. This is walking in his power and in his wisdom when you recognize that he has to be number one. Then you will put him and treat him the way that he wants to be treated. He will have the proper perspective in your life to make it into the kingdom. To not, well, to have respect of his temple. And not to defile and destroy it. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. We will be meeting on this evening. I will send out the notification. Don't really know what it's going to be on yet. I did, but right now it is escaping me. But as I go before the Most High in prayer, he will bring it back to my remembrance. So we will meet on this evening, and I pray that you consider the word of the Most High. Make room. Walk in his power and in his wisdom. Let him be the ruler and the lover of your life. Enjoy the rest of your day, family. Happy Sabbath and shalom. I don't know why I've been doing that lately. I'm on this shofar thing.
Without you, there's no need. I need a hand.